Welcome to Profiles in Prosperity, the leading podcast for residential service contractors, sponsored by Service Roundtable and hosted by David Heimer.
Hi, everybody. This is David Heimer. Welcome to Profiles in Prosperity. Today, I'm talking with Colleen Keyworth. Colleen is the Director of Sales and Marketing for Online Access, which is a HVAC web marketing company located in Michigan. And let me just say, they are partners of ServiceNation. Online Access is a fabulous company. I've worked with them for years, and I just think the world of them. I recommend them all the time to people. They are the nicest people in the world, and whenever you work with them, you get this sense that they are really worried about your success. And it's true. That's the kind of people they are. So just a little segue there. Colleen grew up in our industry. The family owned an HVAC and plumbing business, so she has a really clear understanding of contracting and also the realities that come with owning and operating a profitable business. Colleen has an impressive list of awards. She was named the ACHR News' 2019 Top 40 Under 40. She is the vice president and on the board of directors for the Women in HVACR for the last 6 years. And side note here, during this time when she was on the board, the organization has grown from 100 to over 500 members. So very impressive. She is on the board of the Southeast Michigan Air Conditioning Contractors Association. And last year, she was named the Service World Expo Woman of the Year. So really fantastic stuff. Colleen, welcome to Profiles in Prosperity.
Thank you for having me, David. And thank you for all the nice things you said about online access. We appreciate you.
Well, it's all true. I appreciate what you guys do, and I recommend you guys to people all the time and with really good results as well. So thanks for all you do for everybody. Let's start off at the beginning. You were probably some kind of slave labor to your dad and your uncle in the business. And from there, you ended up joining the business full time somehow. I'm not sure how all that happened. So talk us through it.
Well, there's a couple different stories on that, but the main one being growing up in our family, my grandfather, who started Vincent's, he was very, very, very adamant that all of us grandchildren would learn how to do any kind of work or labor. We owned apartments under the Vincent's name too. So we had some side real estate apartments or ventures, if you will, that the family kind of shared and did some additional income. And so as grandkids, it was one of our duties to work with grandfather and redo a lot of the roof or repaint or redo carpet or rip up things. And in addition to that, we would sometimes be asked to sort copper for the business or you know, just get bucket loads of trash barrels of copper and cut it up all day. So we all were very, very, very aware of hard work, and we learned valuable lessons in that growing up. I had no desire to be involved in our HVAC company. I kind of knew what it was about. I had kind of a rough understanding, but in general, it was just not my cup of tea. I did work for my Uncle Dan, in college for a little bit, and I did emergency dispatch, or I would fill in and do other clerical tasks for them while I was going to college part-time. And I actually, again, made a very big mess of that and actually was dismissed from Vincent's. Very little known fact, I was actually fired.
It speaks well for the family business when they can fire one of their own. Go ahead.
Right. So I was fired from that job while I was in college, and then I actually spent most of my passion and time actually doing event planning. I did weddings professionally for about 4 years, and then on the side, I also did childcare. I worked a midnight job. I was a bartender at one point. I mean, I had all sorts of different odd jobs, but the main one being the event coordinating. And one day, I kind of had gotten the opportunity to do a speaking thing for a friend or go to a conference with a friend and got up on stage and really kind of felt like it wasn't that bad and did really well doing a product demonstration and sales pitch. And I called my dad immediately after that and was like, hey, maybe this whole sales thing isn't such a bad idea, because he'd been bugging me for a while to join the other side of the business, which is the online marketing company. My sister actually started working with him first. I didn't start working with Online Access until about almost 8 years ago now. And Online Access has been in business for about 21 years, where Vincent's has been in business for about 62 right now. So I actually had no desire to be involved, but I quickly joined up with Online Access after that experience, started working in the office and learning the industry, started actually mimicking my dad quite a bit, kind of following. I had to do like a crash course in understanding the difference between a water heater and a boiler and a wholesaler and a manufacturer. These are things everybody takes for granted that I had to learn very, very quickly. And everything kind of goes from there. Joining the Women in HVAC organization started very quickly after that, which was a godsend. I joined Women HVACR in 2015, right around the time time I had started in the industry, I met my now mentor, Patty Ellingson, in the Nashville Comfort Tech many moons ago, and immediately got asked to join the board. And I really will say that has been one of the biggest catalysts to my success as far as networking and even understanding the industry at a breakneck speed would be the involvement in that organization at a very early start.
So tell me more about what you do kind of day to day with online access.
So my job is kind of a hodgepodge of things, but my main responsibilities consist of any of our marketing for any outbound marketing we're doing, our sales for any sales calls or customer things, any kind of our, well, in the new world, I'm not sure what this looks like, but trade shows, and a lot of our training. So I do a lot with wholesalers and I do a lot with manufacturers and industry organizations to speak and train and talk about different industry topics. Besides that, my main focus would probably be the Google My Business or search engine optimization, getting into like professional soft skills, all these different things. And so my new life has been mostly webinars. But in general, usually I would travel for all these places and do in-person training. And then I would create partnerships with these wholesalers and manufacturers to be able to do web work for their dealers or even tools for directories that they need to use. And so that's kind of my main priority is honestly industry relationship and training.
You are vice president of Women in HVACR and you've been an active member in it for years. You said you joined in 2015. One of the knocks about our industry is that there just aren't a lot of women in it. And I'm wondering from your perspective, what can a contractor do to make his or her business more attractive to women? Or maybe the question is, what can we do to make the industry more attractive to women?
Well, there are several areas of this. Number one, the thing you hear a lot is you hear a lot of women who are in our industry talk about uncles or fathers or grandfathers who offered them an opportunity or brought them in, or it's usually a relative or something. And I will say that makes up a large portion of the females that we have represented in our industry. So continuing to do that is a really good way to start. In addition to that, there your marketing. If you think about it, when we do hiring posts, when we do any kind of marketing, when we talk about our guys in the field, it's still guys, the way we talk, being able to change up the pictures we use. We have such a stigma wrapped around what we do, whether it be in the field, in the office, or in sales, or in engineering, that we don't even realize it. And I don't think there's necessarily a problem like people do it intentionally. It's just become such a norm. And trying to break that up and kind of take a step back and look at how you're using your marketing and how you're painting the picture of what the opportunities are in our fields, that's a big deal. So looking at using more pictures, using more photos of women, appealing to women, offering things that appeal to women like childcare. My goodness, that one this year took a really big spin. If you think about it, the thing after COVID, I mean, many things took hits, but one of the biggest one was women in the field, women in the office. Women had to come back home. As soon as schools were canceled and virtual school took over, mom had to come back home. And I saw lots of different companies do many creative solutions to this where they would bring in or hire a teacher part-time and have a conference room set aside where all the kids could go in, have a tutor, do their virtual learning, but then have somebody on standby to monitor this. That way the company was able to still have their employees working, but then they would provide childcare and they would provide options of people to help them through the virtual schooling, because that became such a huge burden. You know, everybody's like, oh yeah, they're virtual schooling. Now you have to become the parent and the teacher. So those are just an examples of kind of redoing your culture to kind of fit that and make that a priority. That makes it appealing for people who don't have many options if you have a family.
You know, it makes sense to go through a little bit of effort. If you think about it, what we hear from people constantly in our industry is, I can't find good people. And what they're really talking about is technicians and plumbers for the most part. But generally, you can apply it to the rest of the company as well. But what they're looking for so often is a guy. They're avoiding half the population.
Right? More than half, actually.
It seems like. Yeah, that's right. About 51%.
Again, changing up your marketing. How are you asking? Who are you looking for? Are you going into schools? Are you talking about these opportunities? As a high school student right now, most of them don't even realize that this is even an option. Whether going into a trade, not doing a four-year college, working as an engineer, maybe doing tool design for our industry, maybe doing airflow, maybe planning out buildings. These are all opportunities that nobody talks about. I had no idea what any of this was leaving high school. And most people only ask you where you're going to college.
Yeah. When my kids were in high school, the counselors only talked to them about going to college. None of them ever talked about trade school. They didn't talk about all the opportunities in the trades. They're really doing a disservice to the kids. So we've talked about marketing, the way you market your company to women, make sure that you are open to the idea of women coming in, also put women in the ads. What else could they do? Is there something they can do to make the business more women friendly?
If you have an intact culture, we get this question quite a bit. It really isn't a problem, but some people actually will ask us, we get this sent into the organization, we get this sent into our Facebook page. What do you do about any type of harassment in the workplace, or what do the guys do, or what do you do about the pressure or the teasing or anything to introduce the women into that environment? And I'm thinking, whenever I get those, it kind of drives me a little crazy, because it's just a sign of a very already damaged culture if you already have to worry about any of that. Most places that I worked with that have female field technicians or even office dispatch, most office clerks and most office dispatch are women, and they already have, you know, established roles, but I don't think you have problems with your techs disrespecting them. What's the problem with one being in the field? And so being able to address that with your company culture, first and foremost, as far as a place of respect, women may not be able to do all of the physical things a man can do, but there's other ways to do stuff. Sometimes there's smarter ways to do stuff. Sometimes there's dexterity involved that makes it easier for women to fit in small spaces, or how you hold a ladder. There's many, many things out there that kind of blow my mind every day when we're on our Women HVAC Facebook, and there's a whole bunch of women all over the country sharing pictures of what they do every day. And it's kind of crazy, but the other side of this is they're better at sales. I firmly believe that women make better salespeople, because 9 out of 10 times, the person that you're selling to in the home is the woman. And there's kind of an empathy there and a trust factor that really kind of gets overlooked that creates an edge when you're doing sales. In your office culture, another thing would probably be just adjusting how you're doing your hours even. Now that we've kind of breached the barrier of looking at homework, I'm not a fan of working from home, but I do know that there's cases where it works, because I feel that remote work sometimes loses, especially if it's not run well, loses that right hand talking to the left hand type of communication. But there are instances where working from home can be a flexible thing that allows you to hire people for different positions for different times of the day that fits with their schedule. So flexibility in a schedule is huge. And that's not just for women. I think you'll find that with even millennials coming up into the trades, that that's one of their biggest desires. Time off is another one. Another big thing is probably open communication. What kind of goals are you setting for your teams? Because most people are goal oriented, and women want to know what they can do to improve, what they can do to help, what they can do to make it better, what their ladder of success is. Speaking in schools, that's a big one. We actually have an ambassador program for women in HVACR that actually sets up all of the materials you need, the slideshows, PowerPoints, speaking points, passouts, handouts, statistics, infographics. We have all of that together that we provide our ambassadors, or anybody who wants to be an ambassador, so that they're equipped to go into their local high schools and start talking about opportunities in the trade. So we make that as turnkey as possible. As long as you have somebody that wants to go in and speak, we'll provide you everything you need to do so.
That's awesome. Well, Colleen, this has been fantastic. I'm really looking forward to seeing what you do next. I should ask you, 2021, what are you most looking forward to?
Going back to shows, I know that's probably the predictable answer for me. Everybody that knows me knows that's probably the number one thing. I had a really hard time trying to pull back last year. It's kind of hard for me. I am a very social person, and I thrive on our events. It's really kind of a family thing to me in some instances. But I did get a lot accomplished last year, despite, you know, all the different pivoting everybody had to do. Everybody learned how to do virtual meetings, so we kind of sped that process up. In addition to that, I probably made more connections because people had time to breathe. So I was able to work through partnerships and establish them faster than I would have in a normal year. However, the word of caution, I would say, I guess, that kind of keeps me up at night. A lot of people talk about how much money the industry saved not doing events, and how, you know, we can do virtual ones and look at the cost savings and stuff. Most of us did really well last year operating on our existing connections and ones that we had already established for years. But going forward, making new connections becomes much more difficult as we live in a virtual world. And the person that gets in front of your customer first is going to get in front of your customer first. So I'm hoping that with the vaccine and several new mandates and just things clearing up in general, that we're able to get back to, you know, seeing each other and being able to do in-person trainings, because I think all of us at some level need that contact.
I agree. And I'm looking forward to seeing you at trade shows. You're always a lot of fun at trade shows. So
I do have a reputation.
Thank you so much for doing this. This was fabulous. It's always nice to connect with you and hear about your career and your perspective. So thanks very much and look forward to seeing you sometime this year.
Thank you for having me, David. I really enjoyed myself.
We're always looking for good ideas and interviews for our podcast. If you have an idea or maybe you think you should be interviewed, just shoot an email to profilesinprosperity@serviceroundtable.com. That's profilesinprosperity@serviceroundtable.com. If you think what we're doing has any value, it would be very helpful if you would give us a great rating on iTunes. Thanks for your support. Hope to see you again soon. Bye.